And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is John Bishop. He is the head coach of Hired to Compete. My name is David Chulo. I'm your host, and we are excited about talking about today's topic, which is, I'm sure everybody can relate to this, how not to hire a turkey. Now, we've all had those moments, ladies and gentlemen, where we got out and we decided that we made a poor hiring decision. Well, we're going to try today to talk about how not to do that. So, John, have you hired a turkey?
Not only have I hired one, I've also been one.
I like that. That's good.
So let me just give you a snapshot. I've been reasonably successful in my career. Started a couple of companies from scratch and had, at one point, 300 sales people. So I've done reasonably well. But I got into a company that, long story how we got there, it looked like it was going to be a marriage made in heaven. And it turned out it was a marriage made in some place that was a lot hotter than that.
Mm.
And I lasted about a year and a half. I learned real quick what the stress of life was about when there was a bad fit. I knew what it stress for me, for the coworkers, for my family. And I walked out that door and I vowed 25 years ago that I would help people avoid the stress that I had. So I've been there. I've been a turkey. And you know, I think I'm a fairly good employee. The company was going through some changes. They were going from rags to riches back to rags. They ended up closing 3 years later. And I was just the wrong person at the wrong time. So I vowed 25 years ago to do whatever I could to help people avoid that kind of stress.
Well, you know, I guess one of the things that people think of today, because obviously hiring is such a challenge, as we know,
Absolutely.
The market is definitely it's an employee market. Why are hiring methods not keeping up with today's needs?
You know, they're running behind, like so many things. Internet, social media, that sort of thing. But how many times have we seen in the last 5 years complete industries flipped on their ear, whether it's the hotel industry with Airbnb, or taxis, or Uber, Harley-Davidson in your state is going through it right now. If you ask 10 kids under, say, 20 years old, what bike they would buy, 9 out of 10 of them would say, I want to pocket rocket from Japan. And that market is gone right now to Harley Davidson. So they have to, their business model is changing faster than their systems can keep up. And it's my belief that hiring is the front door to your future success. And if you start there, it can make a lot of positive differences in your future success.
So we have technology, we have social media, we have the internet, we have people, you know, basically out there shopping themselves as whoever they want to be. And, you know, the laws certainly are making it a little more harder to validate as background checks become a little bit more of a challenge. Equal Pay Act, you're not able to ask questions of what people make. People make up that they don't have degrees when they don't have degrees, and they take getting degrees on colleges that are on sites. How is it important to know these things?
We still put a disproportionate amount of pressure on the decision from two things, the interview and the resume. And I think that we can improve the interviewing process, and that's where that's what I'm all about. But I think we have to look at resumes. In today's world, an applicant has probably 3 to 5 resumes. They're all set, lined up, ready to go, and they'll be sent out based on a particular job, an industry, a particular manager, and those resumes are tailored to those specific situations. These young people know that in order to get an interview, they have to have a certain number of keywords in order for the software to kick out their resume for an interview. So that may not be true what they say. For example, I led or I developed may not be have anything to do with the truth, but it's what they have on the resume in order to get it kicked out. I know, for example, here in St. Louis that there is a VP of HR who shows on his LinkedIn resume, if you will, one job in 5 years, and it's a, and his friend's company. I know for sure that that guy has had three jobs in those 5 years, but it's only showing one job. And he's the VP of HR, making in excess of $150,000 a year. And you mentioned diplomas a minute ago. The diploma industry, fake diploma industry, is a $1 billion industry. There is one company, according to the FBI, and they did not name the company, that is worth over $450 million. Fake diplomas. So you have to wonder, how much weight do you put on resumes? And what? It puts a... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it really questions some of the foundational pieces of what people hire. And not to mention, if you want to look at it, the fact that look at employers, they have not necessarily done a great job, to be honest, of teaching right. their managers or even HR how to interview.
Well, I think that's true. And think about how much turnover. You and I are probably over 50, let's say. And we used to get, you know, at least my father told me, get into a good company and stay a minimum of 5 years or you look like you're a job churner. And you don't want that on your resume. Now, you know, it's repetitive that people aren't there for a year.
You're exactly right. It is. The norms are different. The social norms are different in looking at that.
Today. With the employee turnover situation as it is, a lot of people are being put into management jobs and starting to hire before they're ready. HR may have given them some hints, and they may have to start hiring before they're ready. They haven't maybe gone to this hiring seminar yet. There may not have been one developed at the company either, but people are hiring other coworkers before they're ready to learn how to do it. So to me, if you're going to change the dynamics of your company in terms of selection, retention, and engagement, it has to start at the front door. And we have to put the managers that are hiring to take more ownership and be more accountable for their hiring decisions.
There's no question. And what is not always talked about is the cost, right? The cost of a bad hire, the cost of not having people trained right, the risk involved, the legal risks. You know, that's a big piece of the puzzle.
Go ahead. Well, yeah, and there's a new turnover cost. You know, there's the standard ones that we all know, but in today's world, there's a reputation cost. You know, in the old days, which was maybe 5-8 years ago, you know, if you had a disgruntled employee, they go out and tell 10 people. Now they go up to the social networks and they tell everybody, and it's on there forever. And so you have a much different type of reputation cost, and you spend your lifetime developing a reputation for your company, and they can be destroyed literally overnight by having employees that are not happy.
No, you're exactly right. And, you know, the other piece of this puzzle is you get them in, you're hiring them, and then you get the onboarding side, right? The onboarding, you know, whether they're getting a good first day. I tell people all the time, you're sitting them in a room, they're watching a video, they're reading manuals, they're not really having a great experience. That's what you want them to think of as your first day, question mark, you know, really?
That's right. Well, what I've seen in my business is that there are two forms of onboarding. One is the formal one, which is the company's onboarding process, and then there's the informal one. You know, that new employee has to, quote-unquote, learn the ropes, and who do they go to inside that company to learn the ropes? So they go to your best employee or somebody less. Let me give you an example. I had a company that I went to, and we were getting together for a few minutes before they had a morning meeting. And I was talking to somebody, and as I was walking into this meeting, the manager said, "Oh, I see you met the complainer." And the complainer got his name because he is always complaining. Nothing was right. And he didn't know me. He was complaining to me, and he didn't know who I was. And in that meeting, he got his 10-year pin, which means he had been complaining for all those years, and management hadn't done anything. And yet they probably have a checklist for onboarding. You know, they got their desk, they got a computer, they introduced to so-and-so. But they missed the whole thing on onboarding, which is the informal onboarding process. That has to be looked at.
No, you're exactly right. It's one of the big challenges that employers face is that there's so many managers who are if you want to say it, not developed on how to handle employee right. relations, how to handle hiring, how to handle interviewing. The supervisor development area is really a challenge.
It sure is. You know, if we're talking about hiring, you know, let's say I'm a manager and I need a salesman in Cleveland, and I've got an opening in New York City, and I've got one in rural Maine, okay? So I go to HR, and I say, I need three people. Well, and the first thing they do is they take out the job description, and they start talking about the job for Cleveland and New York City and Maine. And they're going to use the same job description, but it's vastly different job. You know, your biggest competitor might be in the Cleveland market. You have your number one customer in Maine. There's all kinds of differences, but they use the standard job description as the starting point for the discussions of who they're going to bring in. And I think that's wrong. I think that's the old way to look at it. I developed what we call the job outlook forms. They're all strategic. And by the way, if you look at job descriptions, and I've looked at thousands of them, I'm sure you probably have also.
No question.
And have you ever seen a strategic word in there? They're all about duties and responsibilities.
Right, right. You
know, how much weight you're going to have to pick up, whether you're going to have travel, stuff like that. All important information.
Right, and all required legally. Get all that.
That's exactly right. But to run my business, how can I improve that? Okay. And what we developed was these forms that ask the hiring manager to put down in writing the answers to about 15 questions. It takes about 15 minutes. They're all strategic. Why don't we evaluate your existing team right now? Okay, how many A, B, and C players do you have? Evaluate that team on about 15 different things. Evaluate, and then evaluate yourself as a manager, just briefly. And then let's get into some questions. You know, why is the position open? Biggest challenges? What would an A player look like? What would you accomplish in the next 12 months? And if you hired an A player, these types of questions where we're asking that hiring manager to put their strategic thoughts on the thing. And then we drag that information into the interview process and so that we have ownership. And by the way, the form is signed, which gives you ownership.
We're talking with John Bishop. We're talking about how not to hire a turkey. That's right. Great topic on this HR Power Hour on 100.5 FM. And we'll be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsNME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsNME.com. That's JobsNME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Life's never perfect, but as realtors, we know living it in the perfect place can make a big difference.
Imagine
hiding from your screeching children in that spacious walk-in closet, watching the neighbor's dog poop on the freshly sodded grass you negotiated during closing, dropping your cell phone in the toilet of the spa-like five-piece bathroom again. So get the perfect place to house all of life's imperfections. Get Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence.
The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is John Bishop, and we're talking about how to not hire a turkey. Gobble, gobble, gobble. All right, that's my little pun in there. You're listening to David Chulo. I'm your host, and again, you're listening to the HR Power Hour. John is with Hire to Compete. He is the head coach, and we're talking to him about this very important topic. You know, as we ended the last segment, you talked about this form that goes in conjunction with the job description that is more high level and more strategic. Let's talk about this new hiring method of culture fit, job fit, manager fit, and team fit.
Yeah, and today it used to be the old model was to get a candidate to fit the job. Now it's much more sophisticated, and it's does the job fit, management fit, and team fit. We suggested that a hiring person has to answer four questions for every single interview. Will the person increase talent in the department? Will the person take on the job responsibilities of the position? Will they work well with the current team members? And then the most important question may be, what will you, as the hiring manager, do to help this person learn, grow, and succeed? And this is part of that form that I discussed there, the job outlook form. We're asking that manager to put this stuff down in paper, okay, and be accountable for that. Then what we do is put that, again, as I said earlier, it's part of the actual interview process, and we're evaluating the person based on these four questions.
What are the four questions?
Again, will the person increase the talent? Will they work well with the existing team members? Will they take responsibility for the job? And then you, as the hiring manager, what will you do to help this person learn, grow, and succeed quickly?
So when you're in the interview, right, and you're getting ready to interview the candidate, how do you integrate that information into the interview process?
Well, that's a good question. So oftentimes, good candidates come very prepared. They may have read books on the best questions to answer, best ways to answer questions. They may have done a lot of research on the company. And what you have to do is get them off of their game plan, if you will. Get them out of their creature comfort. I like to have people walk around instead of just being behind a desk and see how the person reacts when they're off kilter, so to speak. But I want them on a little bit off kilter, but I want the manager, the interviewer, to be focused, okay? For example, we talk about preparing managers about a mission statement, okay? Most companies have a mission statement, and it looks good on a wall somewhere or on the website, but not necessarily is it ingrained into every single hiring. And I think that we should have your what we call a mission statement for hiring in front of everybody that is hiring, that is doing the interviewing, okay? And a mission statement for hiring is maybe 15 words. What are the shared characteristics of employees you need to drive your mission statement? And those 10 words, or 15, should be in front of those every single manager that's hiring or interviewing. It's on the top of our forms, by the way. Whether it's the job outlook form or the interview evaluation form, it's a reminder, it's a benchmark, it's right in front of you every time you interview. It's asking the manager to say, to evaluate based on a criteria. They may not be able to answer the question, and there's a space where they say, I'm not sure. But if they can say on a scale of 1 to 4 on those four questions, and we're not sure. They're evaluating based on a criteria that they can use for business, not just one that the government needs, which is the job descriptions.
You know, it's interesting as we think about hiring and we think about the interview questions, and we think really about what is effective in interviews, right? What's effective in getting information from a person on the other side of the, on the, in the other chair across from you. Have you found that, that when you're asking these type of questions, you get a more in-depth, complete answer?
Absolutely. No question about it.
Can you give an example?
I had a situation where a person was being evaluated for a new job. They were a customer service. They had been there for 6 years. It was a promotion for them. They had languished there, but I had recommended that they interview this particular person for that promotion, and they were reluctant, let's say. They had pigeonholed her. Oftentimes we see in a department a manager pigeonholes a top performer because they don't want to lose that person. And that was what was happening, and it was pretty clear. So once we got that person into some interview and it got her talking about some things, it was very clear once those questions were bubbling up that she was a standout. And she ended up over the next 6 or 7 years getting 2 or 3 more promotions and deserved every one of them and hit a home run every time. But it would not have happened if we had not had some of these forms in front of the person to focus on the right things and not just let somebody pigeonhole a person. And it turned out to be a win-win. The manager ended up getting somebody else that was pretty good, and it was a win-win for the company.
There's no question that, look, when you can get somebody to understand clearly what you're looking for as well as understand what they're all about, and you can go more deeply into the conversation, that you can clearly have a better outcome in terms of hiring. What are other techniques that you suggest?
Well, I think I have to say assessments. I've been doing this for 25 years, and basically assessments are, they're going to tell you what the person is bringing to the table. And there are some good ones and some bad ones. The good ones are worth the price of admission. And they're going to be able to give you what the candidate is not telling you. And then you can put that into your decision-making process. The problem with assessments, and one of the ways these forms get around that, is the good managers know that this is valuable information. The bad managers use them as a crutch. And they should not be used. And they're not a go-no-go gauge. They're information. How good is the person in problem solving? What's their behavioral traits? What motivates them? How creative are they? All these questions. And then, can I use them? Can they increase the talent in my department? This is what they're bringing to the table. Today's employees are saying, validate me as an employee or lose me as an employee. And they're either going to turn off or they're going to turn over, okay? Good, solid, and some, let's call it the way it is, the good ones cost more, are invaluable in the success of a company if you use them correctly. And they're the cheapest way to increase engagement and retention issues, I mean, ratios. I mean, if I can get somebody and find out as much as I can on the front side, make a good hiring process decision, I have a better chance of increasing retention and engagement. People are working around each other, that they like each other, they respect each other.
There's no question that makes a huge difference. You know, John, as we wrap up the show today, what is one tip that you want to really make sure that employers use when they're thinking about how to make this work and how they really can get the best employee hired?
The old process, merry-go-round. It's a new day. You're going to have employees that aren't going to stay as long as they have before, so you have to get on top of the situation as fast as possible. Make the managers accountable. The managers are the key, okay? Make the good hire based on solid information, strategic information, and then hold the person accountable. One of the things that we do is have a hit-and-miss meeting each year with our clients, where we discuss what did we do right, what did we do wrong, and how can we improve the system, because we're going to have to constantly be improving the hiring system.
John, that's awesome. Follow up, accountability is key. You can talk to John directly, of course. If you want to go to hiretocompete.com, that's hiretocompete.com. John Bishop, phone number 314-651-1479. Or, of course, you can go to the HR Power Hour right after this show, and he'll be available through an email link. And, of course, his website will be there directly. John, it was great having you on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB.